what can I do? But it's the guy's telling me that no one's spoke on the show with him yet. So I have to introduce the topic, even though I don't really want to talk about it. What? No, I don't want to talk about it because I'm an old man already. And I think the guys like to talk, but hear this from younger Rebbeim. But well, introduce the topic. And then we'll let some younger Rebbe take over. Okay, but that's just the way it is. Once upon a time, I was a young Rebbe.
Had a kick into the
I went with Rav David Chase. We went to a yeshiva, and we were trying to recruit. And the person asked, "Why should I send my talmidim to you?" And I went with Rav David Chase, and said, "Because we have an advantage. We have young rabbis." That was 40 years ago. Okay.
Then when you have the older man, and you say we have advantage, we have the older
man. Okay. Anyway. The mice, but I want to introduce the topic and talk about some. I got the one piece. I have someone, okay. Someone need one of these? Anyone need a sheet? Okay. First of all, I want to introduce the topic, what Shaddivim is. Not just because the concept is like this. Knowing that there's a concept of Shaddivim can be a very big help. Why is it a big help? Because there's a Yisai, the famous phrase, that if every day is Mother's Day, then you're never nice to your mother. In order to be nice to your mother, you have to have a Mother's Day. Right? When there's one day I can handle being nice to my mother. Every day, forget it. You know. So you tell a person, every day you have to be tzaddik, don't do averus. That's so hard. You say, elo. So elo, right, it's only 30 days. Okay, 30 days. Even elo's a little bit a lot for most people. You say, Aseret Yemei Teshuva. It's really only 1 week. Okay, I can handle 1 week. Okay? So when you make it, when you make a shorter amount of time, which is special, it makes it easier. So Shaivivim is a relatively short amount of time, especially since we already missed 3 weeks of Shaivivim. So it's relatively a short amount of time, which is considered a special, the most Mesugal time to work on the Averas or the Anyonim of Kedusha, Taira. Whether it's basically brought here, what does it become? It's brought here in the Mishnah Berurah, in the end of Hilchos Chanukah. He says, or the end of Arba Parshas, he says, U'inyan Tainish Shashayvavim, Tat, Ayin Beberhetev Shari Tshuva. Okay, that's the whole Mishnah Berurah. The Ber Hetev quotes, he says, because of Arizal, right? The Arizal is the Arizal, right? Everyone knows the Arizal, the great Mikubo. The Perish HaTorah, he has a Perish on the Torah. Sheyom Emeda, that these days of Shaivivim, Misugada. Misugada means it's a skula. It's not logical, there's a skula. The Sakein Oven Keri, to fix the Aver of Keri. Keri means some form of zera levatoa, but it doesn't, the Mefarshim learn it's lav davka carry, but anything that's in the topic in Israel is very common during Shavim. They have classes on Hilchos Nida for married people. So anything in the topic of Kedusha. He said, Mesugam etakin oven carry, yoyser mikol hashana. It's better than all year. There's something special about these next 4 weeks, or 3 weeks, that are better than all year in working on this particular Avera. Then he says, if you fast, but we don't fast. I don't want anyone fasting because we hold that you're not supposed to fast. It's Yatzis Charab Efseido because it's take away from your learning. So we're not supposed to fast. I don't fast on my yard site, even though I was down to fast on the yard site because it takes away from the learning, especially from Rebbe.
What does better mean?
What?
Better meaning easier or better meaning more effective?
More effective. It could be easier too, I don't know, but it means it's more effective. Okay. And he says, what?
What does it mean more effective?
Okay.
If I have an issue with something, I stop doing whatever it is. So
your tshuva, your Hashem accepts tshuva easier. You know, the tshuva is a lot, and you're just like same thing, elo. Tshuva and elo in general is easier to do than all year because you need less tshuva. So it's not, okay. And he says why? He says the chach maschil miparsha Shemos. Why is it started from Shemos? Sha'oz chizkel ha-shibud, because that started the shibud. Shenitake and hakeri the other marisha. So I like to show off my knowledge of Kabbalah, which is no. But the Or HaChaim explained this a little bit. Shorty don't understand it, but he says as follows. So it shows is that the Or HaChaim says, the Or HaChaim is not Kabbalah, he's on the Chumash. He's in the Parshas Vayechi, and I think Vayigash. He says that Adam Arishan, after he ate from the Eitz Hadas, was poreish from his wife, I think 130 years, I think Rashi says. So now, during that time, because he was poreish from his wife, so it was inevitable, whatever, that sometimes a zera about came out, even just behind us, he's sleeping, whatever. But the Maisa, it was because, indirectly, it was his fault, even though it was the right thing for him to do, be poreish from his wife. But he was poreish from his wife because he did an Aveira. He wouldn't have done an Aveira, he wouldn't have been poreish from his wife. So there is some, that zera b'Torah was a little bit of tain on him. And Adam Arishan, we don't appreciate who Adam Arishan was. But Adam Arishan was like, was you know, the seer kap of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, every neshama that he created with every zera was amazing, had amazing kedusha. So every zera of HaTorah had potential of tremendous kedusha. But because it was of HaTorah, so it was kedusha that was captured by Tumah. And he says, Yor HaChaim, that Tumah loves to grow on Kedusha. There's some kind of rule that you see a lot of Tumah, you know that deep down there's a lot of Kedusha. Because Tumah is a parasite that feeds off of Kedusha. It's like a mushroom that grows on something else. He says that's what Tumah is. So that's why Eretz Goshen had the most Tumah, because it had the most Kedusha. Right, because Mitzrayim. So Mitzrayim had these neshamas that were created by Adam Arishan. They got scattered all over the world. And the majority ended up in Mitzrayim. And therefore Mitzrayim was the lowest place of Tumah because it had the most captured Kedusha from the Zarev HaTov of Adam Arishan. That's the Arizal. And Bnei Israel's mission of going down to Mitzrayim was to take all the booty of Mitzrayim, but the booty Achakein Yetzer Rechush Gado, but the Rechush Gado, the real Rechush Gado, was not the money, but the Kedusha, that they were able to pull out the Kedusha and rescue it from the Tumah Mitzrayim. That's the Arizal, as much as I can say over. So there, and that's why there's then the clients are going to goddess of the rest of the world, because you got to get to save the Kedusha that's scattered all over the world. Every time we go to another country, we're collecting the Kedusha that's scattered in this new place. That's why there's a halacha. You're not allowed to go back to Mitzrayim because there's no point, because they did such a good job in Mitzrayim that they took all the Kedusha. There's no Kedusha left in Mitzrayim. So therefore, there's no Indian to go there anymore. So that's why there's an Isser. So there is how it says to go to Mitzrayim because it serves no function.
Israel?
Anyway, what?
Israel?
It's an Israel. It's a pasuk in the Torah. Now, the question is, how come the Rambam lived in Mitzrayim? So there's answers. What exactly is the Israel? But there is an Israel to go to Mitzrayim. Doesn't mean. So the Maisa, anyway. So be that as it may, but we don't really have to know. Kabbalah. I just wanted to show
there
up.
Or live there?
What?
Go there or live there?
I don't know. That's when we get into the Rambam. But you want to go tour and see the pyramids? It's not so posh. Before you go, ask a Shaila. Okay? But obviously, people did go there. Rabbi Avadi Yosef lived in a certain tzarach. He was the chief rabbi of Egypt, I think, for a while. No, I think so. Anyway, the Maisa. But it is a pasuk in the Torah. They're supposed to go down to Mitzrayim. So the Maisa. Anyway, so there is a thing. Whatever the Hezbollah is, we're really not interested. Is that the next? It goes from Shemos to Mishpatim, which happens in Rosh Tevis of the Parshas, spell the word Shaivivim. That's where it's called Shaivivim. Shmos, Va'era, Mishawach, Bo, Mishawach, Yisro, Mishpatim. And it's a pasuk in Navi, Shuvu, Banim, Shaivivim. Okay. So that's where it comes from. I really can't tell you more because I don't know any Kabbalah. But what comes out is that it's accepted in the world that these works are the most mesugal. So the reason why it's just important to know is that psychologically we should be a little more careful these weeks than other weeks. We should try a little harder. Doesn't mean, you know, I'm not saying, you know, sometimes we don't succeed, but we try a little harder, just like during Elul. Person during Elul is supposed to try a little harder, right? So during these weeks, we should try harder. Okay. Now, with that introduction, I wanted to touch on a few very, very simple things, which are could be chidushim. Could be they're not chidushim because I said them probably every year. The guys heard them already. But if you didn't hear them, I think they're big chidushim. First of all, the Reshiva said a very big chiddush in this whole topic, which I remember when I heard it, I thought it was a tremendous chiddush. And I did not hear it when I was, you know, I only heard it later in my years in yeshiva. Reshiva said as follows, and I found, and that's why before I got to the yeshiva, many other people say it a little bit, that by every when you're working on every project, the way you work on it is you learn Musar B'Spaydus, you make a chart, you know, you remind yourself every day, whatever it is. Because he said that by this topic, it's just the opposite. Why? Because he says every project, it's an action. You're speaking Lashon Hara. You do it with your mouth. You're eating non-kosher food. You do it with your mouth. With your hand. You hit someone. You do it with your hands. You're working on Shabbos. You're moving muksa. Whatever it is, your body is doing it. The body only works if your body decides to go. No one, so you have to have a decision, move my hand. There's a bodies don't move by themselves. So you want to control your mouth, don't speak. Control my hand, not to move muksa. Control whatever. But this aveira, the starting point of all the aveira is in the brain. And everything starts in hearer. Once there's hearer, then that could move on to Zeravatol, but the first step of everything is hearer. Even histakless, the first step is hearer. Because really, Ria, we're pretty much Mako on. Ria means when you walk down the street and you see something, but you don't pay any attention to it, even though you see it, we hold that that's basically mutter. Just like give the example, when you're driving a car and there's a car in front of you, and very often, if you're a person like me who's impatient, and the car in front of you is going very, very slow, and he stops at every, I don't know, not just every stop sign, but every bump in the road, and he puts on a brake. So you're, you know, and you're following him for five blocks. You're ready to strangle the guy's neck, you know? Would you learn how to drive, right? And finally, he turns off. Now, the whole time, you never banged into him. Every time he stops, you stop. Now, after he finally turns off, so you ask him, what color was that car? So three-quarters of the time, you won't know. You were watching it, but you were looking at it, but you didn't care. So the information of the color of the car is not relevant. You're walking down the street, and there's a pothole. You walk over it. I ask you, why'd you do that? Do what? You walked around. I walked around? Because you don't even know you did it. Because it's so unimportant that it doesn't even register in the brain. So re'ia is when you see something, but you don't pay attention. 2 minutes later, you ask, what was it? I don't know. I wasn't paying attention. Now, I don't even worry paying attention. You didn't bump into the person. Okay. Histakless means you're paying attention. The reason why you pay attention, you're steering, is because there's something that interests you. So even histakless is rooted in the first step is hearer. So hearer is the problem for everything. That's the first step. Doesn't mean it's the only step, but it's the first step. So Meshiva said at Yisoid, which is very logical when you think about it, that you can't tell a person, don't think. Tell a person, I want you to stay in this room and make sure you don't think about a gorilla. Okay? Don't think about gorillas. Don't think about gorillas. Don't think about gorillas. You tell a guy not to think, he's thinking about a gorilla. Because he's thinking, don't think about gorillas, so he's thinking about gorillas. The only way not to think is not to think about it. So the more you tell a person not to do hearer, the more hearer you're going to have. So the Reshiva held that you're not supposed to learn Musar B'Spaydus. You're not supposed to keep a chart. You're not supposed to, sure, what for sure you're not supposed to do, if let's say there's a certain situation where whenever you go there, you think you have, every time I go to my Aunt Nellie's house, I know, you know, I'm Nichol. So you're going to your aunt's house, oh, yesterday I went, yeah, I was Nichol. I better be careful not to be Nichol. They say that's the worst thing, because then you're telling yourself, right now there's a lot of big nisyonis here. I'm about to be Nichol. That's putting the thought in your head. So he felt very strongly that in this area, obviously you have to make a decision, you don't want to be Nichol, but you don't constantly reinforce it. In general, the Shiva held most of a big chiddush that reading the Svarim and the topic is not a kedai, because he said the Svarim are not applicable for us, because most of the Svarim are discussing people who are doing Averis B'mezid, and in yeshivas, no one does the Averis B'mezid, and therefore it's completely different. And all those Zohars, if anyone had read this Svarim, and all those crazy Zohars, well, I won't say crazy, but very extreme Zohars do not apply to us, because it's a completely different Avera. It's a different Rochak Mizrach from Ayres. So he held that reading the Svarim is not even applicable. What?
I like the modern Svarim, that bring in like modern information.
Okay, maybe, but if they bring the Zohar, I once had a Fountain of Maran Sefer, which I thought was very good, and I showed it to Rabbi Trapper, and he said, no, he passed it, because he still quoted the Zohar. So he quoted the Zohar, and she was not happy with it. But maybe if he doesn't quote the Zohar, he just, very, you know, if he discusses the Chaimer Aveira, Shiva held that the Chaimer Aveira, not to mean it's not an Aveira, but the extreme Chaimer Aveira that you find in these Svarim do not apply. Okay, anyway, but getting back to here. So the first step is everything is in your brain. So if the first step is in your brain, so you should not think, let's say you go to a certain place, you know, don't have hearing now. Yesterday I had hearer, this place, don't have hearer. That's the worst thing to tell yourself. Now, so let's say you're not going to do that. Let's say, again, but let's say a guy has hearer and he's going to sleep. So before he goes to sleep, you're not supposed to tell yourself, don't have hearer, because that's putting the thought into your head. But what if the Maisa guy had hearer, and then he woke up in the morning, so now should he say to himself, okay, last night I made a mistake, I want to make sure I don't do that again. That's pretty safe, because it's 12 hours. You're not going to sleep for another 12 hours. So thinking about
isn't
it now,
tshuva?
What?
Isn't that tshuva?
Yeah, that's tshuva. Right. That's what I would have said too. So that's where we have this Hedek sheet that they say that even that's not good. Right? And if you read the sheet, I don't have time. You don't have time to read it. But we, anyway, the first thing, you can read both, but you can read Rav Zolba writes, Yedidei Hayakar. Right? And the first page, Igros V'Ksavim. Yedidei Hayakar. Hafsik. Stop. Lachapes B'Svarim. Mashratam Elosachet. Stop reading it. Umashra Rasham Tachon, what you copied, take those, put them in Geniza, throw it out. Hayez are maybe the chayte who go on is trickery. Shekol makshav al chayt. Any thought about this avera, afino makshav shel charota v'tshuva, alula grigro shuvah etchavar. It brings out the avera more. It somehow the more you think about it, the worse it is. Irazal sarach lalechad b'derech hafucha. You gotta go the other way. And he skips the line. Sarach lishkoyach me'achayt. You forget about it. How do you do that? By learning. You just sit and learn and forget about it. Okay. Okay, and he keeps on talking. He says also that in the next paragraph, forget about what he's on the Svarim also. And then at the last paragraph, Yadua ani, I know, Shader Shaviartha, he the gamri akari become much easy. This is completely different than what you've seen in Dominique's books. Avoyesh al Derek Zos has come chazonish. Okay. Anyway, if you look at the back, he says the exact same thing. I could, and a lot of people say the same thing. Omer B'Shem, the last piece, this is from Rav who you got, the Mashgiach from Lakewood, Rav Vaxvogel. Rav Vaxvogel, the previous Mashgiach from Lakewood. Omer B'Shem Rav Yeruchim, from Rav Yeruchim. Rav Yeruchim was a great Mashgiach in the Mir. Kol Hashana, the whole year, Afilo Adam Shenikshu, even if you were Nikshu, Sarek Lakshov, Hala, you think of Asid. You think about the future. What is Kadem? You're moving forward. The Lakshu over. You don't think about the past. The past is over. Forget it. Forget it. Irrelevant. Rak Yom Echo Vishana. One day a year, Mutter Adam Lakshu over. That's the Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, you can think about the past. Ubiyom Zem Askirim, Gaviduyim, Kol Kacharbe Nefidus, and Prate Pratis. The Kedushas Hayom keeps you out of trouble. That's only because of Tshuva. You go forward. You forget about the past. This is a human weakness that they live in the past. Okay. Anyway, so everyone's saying, you say God, though. It's basically because the ikar is in your thoughts, and you can't tell yourself not to think. And also because this has a very big problem of depression, is you're not supposed to think too much about this. So why are we having this? Good question. Probably should have it. So you're not supposed to think too much about it. You're supposed to forget about it. What you have to do is that, so what's the Eitzah? The Eitzah is not to think that you don't want to do it, but to keep your brain busy. You know, it's not Sur Mira, it's Asay Taif. There's a famous Rambam that says that the brain can only think at one thing at a time. The very biggest type. That you can't think, now Ayasakasha, the Rav Chaim Ozer could write two letters at the same time, right? That's what they say. Ayasakasha. Right, you know, they say they wrote two tshuvas with two hands and two different topics at the same time. I don't know how you can do that. But a normal person, brain, can only think about one thing at a time. What?
Yes. To him, it's the same thing.
What?
Maybe to him, it's the same thing.
I don't know, they're two different topics. I don't
know. Maybe less of each.
It's back and forth. Quickly.
I don't know. But the Rambam says that at least a normal person can only think about one thing at a time. So the Rama says it's befeish. If you want to avoid having your hurim, you think about something else. Now, the best thing to think about is Torah, because Torah has also Kedusha. So if you're thinking about Torah, you got a double advantage. One is Kedusha, Barasi Yetzara, Barasi Tara Tavlin, and your brain is preoccupied. But if you can't think about Torah, then you think about other things, which means, for example, I'll give you an example. We have a thing called the midwinter chizik. right? Midwinter chizik. So now what do guys do during midwinter chizik? So you have two guys. So one guy is going to go to Orlando, and the other guy is going to stay in the yeshiva and stay in his dorm and lie in bed. Now who's better? So you say, sorry, the guy is going to Orlando. This preacher's there. Hey, preacher's. Guy's staying in the dorm. He's lying in bed. He's just resting and doing nothing. That's great. It's not so bullshit. Because the guy who's going to Orlando, he's busy, right? He's busy. He's doing something. His brain is preoccupied. He's surrounded with his friends. He's schmoozing with other people. So even though he's surrounded by preachers, he doesn't have to see the preachers. Because, again, we said preachers is only if you see it. If you don't see it, it's not preachers. No, he's busy. His mind is focusing on the exciting roller coaster, whatever it is, and it's with his, especially with a group of other people. The guy's lying in bed in the dormitory. Now, if he's learning the Yeshiva Spanish, that's good. He's just lying in bed doing nothing. He's lying around. Then his brain is empty. Then it's very likely that he might be more prone. So I'm not saying a rule. It depends on the guy. But very often, for many people, it's more dangerous to lie, which they used to say a line, in the sleep in the Aron Kodesh, is more dangerous than going to Orlando. Because the brain is in the Aryan Kodesh too. The brain is the one that when you have nothing to do, there's a Mishnah in Ksuvos. I'm sure you all know, because you people are Mishnayos. Where's Shaya? He's not here, my Mishnayos. You don't understand. You don't think Ksuvos. You finish Ksuvos. What's the Mishnah? Batoa maybe any day.
Zima.
The Mishnah. That a woman who's, like her husband marries a woman and she's rich. So the question is, how they can force his wife to do certain jobs? What if she's rich? So she brings slaves. So then she doesn't have to cook. The wife, the slaves will cook. So the Mishnah says that there are certain jobs the husband can force his wife to do. Why? Because he says, I don't want a wife that sits around and does nothing. Because a woman who does nothing, first of all, maybe today, shimum, when a person has nothing to do, they go crazy. And I don't want a mentally crazy lady. She starts hearing noises. Did you hear that noise? Someone's in the house! You know? So that's when you have nothing to do, you start imagining things. And the second thing that happens when you have nothing to do is it brings his nuts. That's the Mishnah. He says, I don't want a wife, this is Mizana. So you got to cook, whether you need, it's too bad you got slaves. Right? I was cooking, making the, washing the laundry, whatever it is, certain things. So doing nothing is very, very dangerous. You got to keep yourself busy. Now, the problem is, of course, what happens at certain times, you can't keep yourself busy, right? When you're learning in Beis Medrash, okay, your brain, you're busy, you're learning. When you're playing basketball, you're learning. When you're going to Orlando, you're busy. But what about when you're trying to go to sleep? Ah, you're not busy. So that's already a problem. So if you're a real super tzaddik, so of course you're still, while you're trying to go to sleep, you're thinking about the Rekiv Eger and your Chazering Shir, right? But regretfully, many of us are not doing that. Regretfully. So the answer that they say, and this is a very big answer, is a person is supposed to have a daydream which he's happy with, which he can turn on. You don't lie in bed and say, don't have Ehurim. That would never work. What you do is, it's like you have an adventure that you're almost, you can't wait to the next chapter. You're reading Harry Potter. You can't wait to get to the next chapter. But you got to go to Seder. Oh, now Seder's over. I can read the next chapter. So instead of Harry Potter being in the book, Harry Potter's in your brain. And you can be mechanish it. You're writing Harry Potter as it's going on. You're Harry Potter. Or you're some general that's shooting all the Arabs, or you're killing, whatever it is. There's people like to daydream. Most people like to daydream. So you have to come up with some enjoyable daydream, and then you can daydream the same. Sometimes you have reruns. We'll have a rerun that daydream of yesterday was so geschmack. I killed so many Arabs. Let's do that again. Okay? Or the different daydream. I've got a new chapter this week. Right? You go ahead and but your brain, it's a relaxing. You can fall asleep. You're relaxed, but your brain is still occupied because you're thinking about something which you enjoy. You want to think about the wedding. You want to think about you're going fishing. You're going hiking. You're going airplane. What's it called? Jumping, I don't know, parachuting, skydiving, whatever it is. Just you find something that you enjoy thinking about, and you think about it. When you lie down and you turn the channel, you turn to a channel that you enjoy. It's like relaxing music, and you sit there and you think about it. And if Chas V'Shalom, a hearer pops into your head, so you just do, say, oh, someone, the channel got turned. Oh, let me turn the channel back, right? And you go turn the channel back. I was in the middle, excuse me. And you go turn back. You don't say, stop, go away. It doesn't work. You have to turn back the channel.
There's no channel that's on.
That sounds very risky, no?
What?
Now the channel that's on is more interesting.
I can't hear you.
Now the channel that came into your head is more interesting now. So, you can't switch back.
Okay, I guess you can. That's what you have to try and do. I don't have an answer for that. But you have to try and switch to a different channel. I hear the question. I don't have always an answer to every question, but that's what you have to try and do.
There's no chashash that meaning getting used to daydreaming will lead you to
daydream during Seder?
Yeah, during times when you're really not supposed
okay,
to.
Okay, maybe. But I think it's still what you're supposed to do. You know, you keep, you. I think that's what they say, that you get, you have a pleasure. I enjoy this a certain daydream. It's not the, you know, as was said, it's not the most enjoyable thing in the world. And okay, so this is what I do when I, it's just like someone reads a book before you go to sleep. It's just, you know, that might not be such a bad idea. You know, you read a. You have a kosher book, and it's interesting, and it's you read a chapter of Harry Potter before you go to bed, and then you keep on thinking about it while you're in bed. It's also fine. And so assuming the book is kosher, so it could be a different. I'm not giving a haskam on Harry Potter. I'm not familiar with Harry Potter, but the mice, you find the kosher book. And you read it, and okay, and then you continue the thoughts while you're in bed. And that keeps your the goal is to keep your brain occupied. The more your brain is occupied, it's so the vacation times is a very hard time because people like to do nothing during vacation. Some people they like just to lounge around and do nothing, but that's bad.
There's no way that the goal should be to get your brain to not need like a source of activity. I mean, wouldn't that solve the problem?
It would, but I think there is one way of doing that: killing yourself. In other words, I think it's not possible.
Because
your brain works. Your brain automatically thinks. Your brain, even when you're sleeping, you're dreaming. You know that? They say that even animals dream when they're sleeping. So that the brain always works. Even sleeping, the brain doesn't turn off. That's why we have dreams. The brain keeps on bringing pictures into our head. You can't just turn off the brain and, okay, brain, go to sleep. Turn. It doesn't work. The brain it works 24 hours, 7. So you can, what you have to do, now maybe if you're in a higher madrega, so certain things don't go into your brain, but we're on our level, it's a natural thing. And obviously there's a natural taiva for these things. And therefore, it makes sense that a person will think about it. Reshiva used to say, the line that Reshiva always said, who knows, is the brain is a
open garbage
bin. Right, that was Reshiva's big line. But open garbage bin means that the fact that you're thinking about something does not mean that you're a bad person. Even if the Gemara says, it's a grah, that even the Tanoim had Hirurim Roim. Right? It's an amazing grah. Because that's a natural thing. It's quoted from Ephraim Velazhin, that even the Tanoim had Ehurim Ron. Because it's based on a Gemara, I think in Baba Basra, the three things a person's nitshel every day. Is that in Baba Basra? I think so. I don't remember for sure. But anyway, so the open garbage bill means that when the brain's left open, it's a garbage bill. So garbage seeps in. The brain thinks about any crazy thoughts. So it thinks about, so if you just leave it to wander, it's going to go to the garbage. So if you at least start it on a certain mahalach, you start it going on something else, so then you're safer. You're keeping the brain working on a mahalach. Okay. Does it work foolproof? No, if it would work foolproof, there wouldn't be such a problem. This is a extremely difficult topic, and that's one of the reasons why a lot of this forum, I told the guys today that Rabbi Chait said, Rav Moshe Chait, that if you find a guy in yeshiva who, the guy came to yeshiva for 1 year, and then after the yeshiva, he leaves after a year, so that doesn't mean anything. Okay, some people, they decide 1 year out of high school, they want to go to yeshiva, and then they're going on with life, you know. But if a guy's 2 years in yeshiva, and he's learning well, and then he leaves, says it's almost always because of this point, that because he's nishu in certain averis, in this topic, and he gets very down on himself, and he feels depressed, he feels like a hypocrite and a phony, and therefore he doesn't want, and I don't want to live a life as a phony. People think I'm a tzaddik and I'm not, so he drops out of yeshiva. So it's a very dangerous topic, because, and that's why you have to be careful not to get too upset about it. Because you get too upset, you drop out of yeshiva. It's a normal thing. It happens to be part of being a red-blooded boy, that it's a natural thing. You know, whatever it is. Now, different people are attracted to different things, and we're not getting into details. I'm not getting into details because that's human. Just like when it comes to different people, are some people like chocolate, and some crazy people like strawberry ice cream. And I think they're crazy, but they like strawberry ice cream. So some people are attracted to socializing, and some people have absolutely no interest in socializing, right? Because I'm not attracted to strawberry ice cream. But everybody's attracted to something, right? It could be, you know, this guy's attracted to pornography, and this guy's attracted just daydreaming, and this guy's attracted to something, you know, to other things. But I think everyone's attracted to something. Not everyone's attracted to the same thing. But, you know, that's part of, because it's an inborn mida in the human. So it's a very difficult thing. It is a very, very difficult. And you really have to be careful not to get depressed. We quoted this year in a shmooze, that the Stiper said that people get all down when they're nichshol, but they don't celebrate when they're not nichshol. Right? I think what he said, that when a guy, one time you're not nichshol, you're on the madrega of Yosef HaTzadik. Because you beat your Yetzirah. So, who says that, you don't count how many times you're initial and how many times you pass. We don't keep a clear cheshbon. Okay, anyway, so that's it. So the main thing we're trying to say is that the yeshiva's big yisayid, and that's what he says here in the sheet too, is that when it comes to this topic, we do not walk around saying don't think. Yeshiva did not like reading, for sure not to read the Svarim on it. He didn't even like keeping a chart, I don't think he liked so much. And he did not like, the Musar B'Spidus on it. But obviously you have to make a decision, you don't be Nechshon, but that's it. And then the main thing is to go ahead and to keep your mind preoccupied. That saves the first step. But the first step is really the first step of everything. It's even Histoclus is based on that, what we're saying, and Hurim, they're all offshoots of the hearer. So if you could stop the hearer, then everything else stops too.
Hey, what do you think about the of taking like a heretic of thought and changing it to a kosher type of thought?
How do you do that?
For example, you take like having an inappropriate thought and you switch it to having like relationships with your wife, which we consider
you're not married. How's that going to help you?
What you think about you take it from being somebody good thought to being something mitzvah oriented?
I don't think it's going to help, because even thinking about your wife, it can cause a person to be, can cause a kishui and cause a zeravatawa. So you're right, it's better to think about a wife than a tumatik of thought, that's true. But it's still the problem that it might cause you to be nichsho, that zara vatoho or other thing is still not good. So I don't think you should be thinking about your wife now. I don't even know even if you're married, it's not so good to be thinking about your wife, because it's not always, you're right, it's much better, but I don't think that's the solution. Your much better solution is you're not thinking about that topic altogether.
Is her itself an avera, or is it what comes to an avera?
And I don't want to go into the topic. It depends. It's not for now. It depends. Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
What if you're in a situation where it's impossible not to appear? Like, you go with your family to non-form relatives and not dress properly. So unless you, wear a blindfold, it's impossible not to appear. What should you do then?
So you're a nightmare.
Do you not go?
I didn't say you can't go. Ask your local Orthodox rabbi.
Just go.
What if it's impossible not to appear?
Okay, so ask your uncle that. You're right. There are times that it's very, very difficult. We usually don't say it's impossible, but it's very, very difficult.
Is that a
halacha? No, that's a halacha, what you should do. I don't know the answer. The it a lot depends on you know on the situation. It's not hard to answer. I have to ask a big gadol. But obviously, if you can avoid it, you're supposed to try and avoid it. If you can't avoid it, so if you could use some other system to avoid the hearer, that would be the best. Now you say you can't, the other system for sure won't work. Okay, I don't know. I don't know. That's a good shayla. I don't have an answer to every shayla.
We talked about the Tanit Veil Yoh earlier this year.
Yeah.
Hey, was there Rabbi Tzadok that did him with the Zonos?
Yeah, he smelled the Shkatzim or Ramatzim.
Right, that was Rabbi Akiva or
Rabbi Akiva. I don't know.
Would that ever help in this situation?
Yeah, sure. It would help when you see
meaning
something.
That wouldn't help their hurt.
It would help that when you see something, it doesn't attract. What I say when you go to Publix, you go to Orlando, and you see someone that's not dressed neistically, so I said that. Riyah is not a problem. It's only a stockless. And why are you a stockless? Because it interests you. But if there's a cow walking down the street without any clothes on, it doesn't interest you. Right? And you know, so if you view that person as a cow, then not going to interest you. So the fact that they have no clothes is not. It's just Riyah, not a stockless. So that's right. Okay.
I found out that the Rabbi Zion Jafer has like a whole series on like these type of things. On like a whole working on these inyanim. But it's all like Rabbi saying that. So would someone listen to like?
I can't tell you. I didn't hear a thing.
I'm saying it's talking about techniques to beat.
It depends. If there are good techniques are okay. I said you're not supposed to sit and say, don't think about it. It's terrible to think about.
You still have
it.
Techniques.
You're gonna have techniques, right? Techniques are fine. Technique not to read X-rated movement material. That's a good technique. Technique is not to go to a place where people are dressed not sneistic. If I know that bothers me, if I have to go to the grocery, go in a time when people aren't around. You know, there are certain techniques that do work. Where you can avoid the problem. I don't say you shouldn't have techniques. But you're not focusing on negative, you're focusing on positive. Thinking, I don't want to think, or I'm a terrible person for thinking, is very unhealthy. Thinking that it's a terrible avera for thinking is very unhealthy. But thinking about, I'm going to go ahead and get myself Harry Potter, so I won't think, that's fine.
Always make your plan for going somewhere. Make a positive plan. I'm going to do this instead of I'm not
going to
do this.
Yeah. Right. I'm going to play basketball. She was a big believer of basketball. As much as I never played basketball, but you guys said I know how to play. But she was a very big believer of sports.
For that reason?
Because he held that sports, part of the reason why people are nitshel, they have pent up energy. Now, not everyone has pent up energies. There are some people that are bookworms that don't have pent up energies. But some people are very, very pent up energy, and he said that causes also hearing. So getting out your energy is very healthy, and also it helps you fall asleep at night. And people who fall asleep faster have less problems of hearing. So when you play ball, that's two advantages. It gets out your pent up energy, assuming you're a person who has pent up energy, which are probably most people. Except a few weirdos, like myself. But okay, I don't think I had pent up energy. Because I wasn't athletic at all. But okay. But nothing, it just wasn't athletic. But but most people, which you held, is very healthy. And also helps them fall asleep at night. You know, because you get yourself a little exhausted. So when you hit you fall asleep in a minute. That's very healthy. Yeah, she was a very big believer. That's why Queens, they have a gym in the building. Right? She held that should be. We went in Israel, so she wanted to open up a high school, but he only wanted to open up a high school if they have ball playing, because he felt that high school kids must play ball. So they told him that in Israel, it's parades gather, because no from school has a ball playing. So Shiva went to Rabbi Yashiv. I was supposed to go, but regretfully, I have to blame my son Avram for this. He was born when there was the appointment, so I couldn't go along. So she went to Rabbi Yashiv. His other Sheikh went along, but I didn't go. And he asked Rabbi Yashiv if it's, he said he wants to start a school, a high school, but he wants to only do it if there's ball playing. And but if people tell him that it's Parit Gather, it's a mutter. And Rabbi Yashiv told him it's mutter, but you won't, can't do it because the Kanoim will kill you. So the Rashiva, the Rav David Chayt, was, yeah, I wasn't there, said that he walked out, and she said, okay, so we're starting. Said, but Rabbi Yashiv said, you can't do it because the Kanoim will kill you. She said, I'm not scared of Kanoim. Kanoim don't scare me. What?
He's not recommended.
You can't do it.
He said, practically speaking, it's not practical because if you do it, you have Kanoim killing you. But he didn't say, if I care, if Rashiva interpreted, then Rabbi Yashiv thought he was right. That's how Rashiva interpreted it. I can't say. I don't think Rabbi Yashiv said you're right. Rabbi Yashiv just said, I hear it, it's okay to do. He didn't say you're right. You know, he said, it's okay to do, but it's not practical because the Rishalayim, Kanoim, I don't know if you know the Shankaram, it's a special brief. And
why so they didn't?
They didn't start. One of the reasons is because one of the people that was supposed to start ended up leaving Israel and coming to Miami. So they were missing on some of the staff. That's what happened. They had an elementary school, and they were up to seventh grade when I left. They were going every year up. I think they were up to what?
They had
sport, they had ball playing. Yeah, these schools, even Israeli schools are not that ball playing. But in the high school, but they wanted to move up from the elementary school and went to start high school. But the Rav Dutch did not want to do it by himself for whatever reason. I don't blame him. And okay, so they never did it. Yes. Okay. Can we go? It's natural to go. When you get married, it goes away.
It totally goes away when you're married?
Yeah. Yes, it goes away when you get married.
It fully goes away when you're married?
It doesn't fully go away, but it goes away a lot because you have a... Pass the sour, you have a way to channel it.
Why do people
is there any version of
it does go away to a certain a large extent they go away to get married. I don't say fully yet, but a large extent.
No way. Yeah.
It could be. It's not such a bad Sara. It depends how big of a tercha. I wouldn't say Betel Torah, but if you have a choice, you know, there is such a Svara. Okay, I don't know. I wasn't pushing. I didn't mean to say that, but yes, it's not a bad idea sometimes.
Do we say any Pas Pasalo for us?
Pasalo, you're going to get married. Okay.
But it doesn't. In practice, it doesn't help anything.
It might help a little bit. I don't know,
but
so much.
Yeah. Hey, it like you have your thing on piano singing?